This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. We continue our conversation with MUT researchers. And today I'm with Dr. Behara. Before we talk about your research, please briefly tell us about yourself.
Thank you, Prof, for inviting me and making me a part of this initiative. Thank you so much. My name is Kavita Behara, and I'm from the Department of Electrical Engineering in MUT. I started my career in South Africa in 2006 with being a senior lecturer at DUT, which is our sister body. And I have learned quite a good systems in place where the academia is needed. However, when I joined in MUT in 2015, mm-hmm. I learned the research component very well. MUT has kept me a very research-oriented based, and I completed my my doctoral degree in MUT, mm-hmm. Through MUT. So I'm very glad that the research component is very active in MUT. And during my period in MUT, I continued to transform my knowledge through innovation and technology. And I become an IBM security consultant through MUT only. So that puts me in the international level to keep my collaborators and do more research on AI technologies. Currently, my research is AI integration in various disciplines, which includes healthcare, energy systems, as well as the education. That's all about me, Prof.
Thank you very much. You talk about AI, artificial intelligence. You know, it is something that most of us are still trying to learn and understand. So can you briefly explain what artificial intelligence is and how you have linked it to the healthcare professionals in disease diagnosis and management?
Thank you, Prof. AI is a new thing for everyone, and we still in South Africa we fiddling around what is all about when the developed countries are already been implementing, and some of the countries where they are stopping them because of the too much of capex and so on. But AI is not something which is replacing a human being. Mm-hmm. It's a system which trains the data by itself and provides us the solution. And AI is mostly about a data and how you train the data to you to do your societal things and your day-to-day lives. It's a supporting tool. Mm. Rather than saying that it is replacing a human beings. So, what I have done in this part in AI is tremendous models and all those things. I have ran various models on AI, but I have never seen where it said that, oh, it's replacing a human being. Mm. No, it's not. It's making our life more easier. Let's take an example of our emails. Now, in order for a non-English person to write just a simple paragraph, it takes time, 30 minutes, but the very same email can be done in 2 to 3 minutes. We can realize that how fast is AI is, and it's changing our lives in terms of time management. So the AI learns the pattern by itself, and it recommends us what is the next step before you could think beforehand. So it helps us in terms of timing. And obviously, AI is a pattern and data-driven systems.
Thank you. So, what inspired you to go into that area of research?
Okay, I'm a storyteller. So I would like to tell you a story. In 2009, my son got sick. Mm-hmm. So I had to take him to the clinic.
Right.
So when I went to the public clinic, I saw there was a cancer screening drive was happening. So the community came from, you can say mamas and gogos, they came from very far places, taking a taxis just to do the screening. It can be a breast cancer, it can be a skin cancer, or any sort of cancer screening. It triggered me that there is so much of cost involved for these senior citizens to come all the way, stand there in a queue, and get just 5 minutes of the pre-screening. And that triggered me, why not? Because I'm a computer engineer and I'm in the field of technology and innovation, why not if I develop an app which can be used on their normal Android phones and screen before they come to a conclusion? That will help them in terms of cost, the infrastructure, and standing in a queue, and the whole day, you know, it whole day goes away when you go to the clinic. So that transpired and inspired me that let me do something for the community where I, my knowledge of innovation and technology can drive that and bring a solution to that. So I have chosen this because I have a passion for healthcare, but by default, I'm a computer engineer. So I wanted to have the integration of those two elements. That's how I started my research on AI-based. And at that time, AI became one of the most advantageous system in place. So I said, let me explore both the items, both the objects, and then come up with a solution.
Wow, that's interesting. And currently, how far are you with your research, and what are the key milestones or findings have you achieved so far?
At this stage, my research is in a middle stage. Mm-hmm. Why I say so? Because in my research, in my PhD, I developed 4 models, and which has given a very good, those I can say the milestones, which I've still wanted to do the patenting of those design models, which gave me a very good results in like 99.38 and so on. But I had a challenge of not having a real data. Whatever the data that I was using was on a Caucasian population, that means like USA, New Zealand, Australia, and all. But my challenge is I wanted to develop a model which can be generalized as well as can be used to for the South African community. So majority of the data that I was receiving was the smoles or the lesions on the white skin. But I wanted to have a darker skin and the variations of the of various skins, just not only one kind of community. So I'm in a process of getting an ethical clearance, because in order for me to have that real data, I need ethical clearance, which I'm currently busy with. So once I have that data, then obviously I wanted to run my 4 models and maybe more on those real data. And I'm in a process of, it's not only just telling me whether it's a cancerous or not, but a patient should know how did I derive that conclusion. And I should be able to explain it before they go to doctor. It's same like when you ask a ChatGPT or Gemini, can you please do this? And it comes with the explanation. So AI should be able to do that part for the patient as well as the clinicians. Mind you, I don't want to say that we are replacing, but it's just a pre-screening to avoid all the hassles that our community goes through before they reach to the conclusion.
I get that. And have you encountered any challenges and maybe any lessons learned in your research journey thus far?
Yes, quite a few. Firstly, I had the issues of the data. Getting a data set for my research, it's a bit of challenge, even though there are a lot of online data sets are available, but I cannot generalize all of them. So one data set gives me a certain accuracies. However, the other one gives me another one. So these are the major challenges, but at the same time, the infrastructure also put me down, because in order for me to do these AI models, I need a computationally efficient and faster systems. And partially, I would say thanks to MUT, where they have provided me a system which can take this data and run, but still running these models is not a easy go. So infrastructure or let me say the components and equipment are the major issues that I have come across. But it will still going to continue because it depends on the data set what I'm going to receive. Because the data sets might have 10,000 to 20,000 images which I needed to run through. And the also on the top of it, I needed the image analyzer to analyze the images that we get. And those images run like 32,000 to 50,000 images run in one shot. So those are the challenges that I have encountered. The lessons learned from this is I have to do what I needed to do. I cannot say that, oh, I don't have, I am going to stop this. But I could say that the research department of MUT always encouraged me. They provided me all the support to do this work. And that encouragement is one of the lessons I learned. I mustn't be down to, you know, when I'm not getting the results. But at the same time, one lesson what I learned, it's about me. It's not about my supervisors. It's not about others. It's about me. Hard work is always going to give me the best results.
And resilience.
And resilience too.
Right. This is going to be an obvious question. How does your work link to or align with Ignite, our vision, Ignite 2030?
Oh, obvious. That's the first thing I should be considering. Anything that I do in MUT, because I belongs to a family of MUT, and I should I aligned my my work, my research to a community engaged project through innovation and transformation and getting their technological solutions. And also, since I'm on the community engagement, the huge impact is my, is our society. And I have chosen healthcare to be a part of the societal impact. So, I could say that I have aligned my research to the community engagement through research, technology, and innovative solutions.
I would dare say that this is still a, in our context, a relatively new research area. Do you have any, have you identified any students that you want or you are working with so that you can increase the pool of academics in this area?
Thank you, Prof. I have supervised one student from UKZN. She has completed her honors degree and we have published and presented some of the papers. But currently I have two PhD students and one master students under this research. So obviously I have a pool of collaborators nationally and internationally. So I would say that in terms of supervision, yes, I have a challenge in terms of I cannot do the main supervision. However, I'm a co-supervisor in all these, with these supervisions with other students. That could be one of the reasons because we don't have post-grad programs on our thing. But I did not see that as a major deficiency because if I keep on sitting and I would say that I don't have, then it defeats the purpose of me being in academia. So I have the collaborators which I can work. In fact, I have collaborators in Sweden as well as in USA where I do my research. My publications are in this field are quite vast.
Sustainable Development Goals. Again, what's the alignment there?
I aligned my research with SDG 3, which is health, and SDG 9, which is your the infrastructure, innovation, and engineering. So I have combined this together. This is the integration of these two SDGs. So the innovation will obviously going to be a will have a huge impact, as I said earlier, that I'm going to develop an app which can be published on your Play Stores or iOS systems so that the community can use for the pre-screening. So I really wanted the community to get the results of my research through this cover, aligning my research to these two SDGs.
We are in the middle of a township, and there are health issues encountered by some of the community, not necessarily only at Umlazi, but, you know, UKZN. Have you identified, or are you planning on identifying communities that, through your community engagement, that you can penetrate with the intention of working with them?
That is obvious, because when I develop this app or a model, I have to do the testing.
Right.
And I have to validate my research.
Mm.
And certainly I need the community too. Perhaps maybe I have to go to the nearest health clinics or the private clinics, and for which I need a ethics clearance to get, make sure that this is happening. So I have to involve them one way or the other to have a impactful results. So that is my future work that I wanted to do, because I'm still doing my real-time analysis. Mm. So once the data I'll get, that is obviously directly I'm getting the electronic records from the hospitals. So that will have a huge impact on my results.
The last question. Looking ahead, what is your vision for the future of artificial intelligence in healthcare? And what key message would you like viewers to take away from your research?
Okay, there are two questions. So let me answer the first one. Mm. My future work will be the collaboration, international collaborations with the various researchers in the very specific field. I would want to go through the institutions like MIT, NIIT from India, and the two universities in USA. There is Pittsburgh University, and there's one more university. I can't remember the name, but I would want the research to go through those channels as well, because I wanted to see my results are generalized. It's not only for one country, but it should work for all the countries. So the images that we take, it should align by itself, so that just by looking at the lesions of the cancers or whatnot, to align that model to that. So obviously, I would want to go through the international collaborations. Secondly, I wanted to say to the society, AI is not replacing us. AI is just a tool. I can say very clearly and, you know, honestly, that the models that I have developed is just there for our assistance and support to minimalize our day-to-day hectic frustrations and all. Even when you use any of the LLM tools also, they're all based on the AI. So AI is what is to support you, but make sure that AI use it ethically and professionally and sensibly before you come to the conclusion. AI is taking your knowledge, interpreting it in a better way, and transforming back to you. So my message to all the viewers is, please make use of AI. And don't, even the clinicians and expert professionals, don't be frightened about the AI. AI is to just support us.
On that note, thank you, Dr. Bihara.
Thank you so much.
I hope this conversation will inspire researchers who want to go into that field. Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of our conversation. Please join us again tomorrow. Goodbye.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.